You know, I was the underdog when I asked my wife out on a date.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
He's a weapon. Stability is the key in any situation.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Hopefully everyone's having a great Saturday morning. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here with
Max Heineman.
And Max, we've got a good coaches show lined up today. Obviously, let's talk about Arabian football first. I had a big win last night over the Mount Vernon Marauders in the first round of the 4A Sectional 21 playoffs. We were both on that game. What did you see?
You never like to use the term ugly win, but that's kind of what it was last night. 45-14, it's not really what... If you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. The score doesn't really say it all, but... You know, the game just wasn't very pretty all around, and if they were playing a team like Greenfield or Yorktown, that probably wouldn't have flown or whatever. But, playing Yorktown or playing Greenfield, like, those are two different teams. Playing Greenfield next week, they have to be firing on all cylinders. It's just not the kind of performance or the way they handled themselves you want to see going into next week.
And... That's kind of what I didn't want to come on here and say. It's what we saw. It's what it was last time on the broadcast. But it left a lot of questions. After the game, we expected Richmond to come up for the postgame interview and be fired up. He wasn't as fired up as we thought he'd be. You know, was there just, you know, it's another game in the schedule, just trying to see the next opponent. We truly believe, from what we saw last night, I don't know if that beats a Greenfield team. I don't know if that beats a Yorktown team. It's going to be a lot tougher game than Pendleton Heights has proved for the other eight this season. So, I don't know. We're going to figure out. We're going to answer those questions tonight. Another thing that we saw was explosiveness. They were kind of, you know, the first 7-8 weeks of football for the Arabians, their offense controlled the game. Their offense led the team in possession, time of possession. It's Saturday morning. I can't think. And that was not the case for the past few games. Its explosiveness has led them to touchdowns, but not been able to keep your offense. So it doesn't feel like they're in control of the game, even when they're up by three scores.
It's a good problem to have. It really is. Just, you know, Joel Weaver having all these, like, 50-yard-plus touchdowns, it can hurt you in the long run to where your offense isn't able to really get anything going and have a drive down the field to gain momentum. And it keeps your defense on the field a lot longer and on the sideline not as long. And your defense is going to get tired whenever the other team has a lot more time of possession. I don't think that was the case last night where Mount Vernon had too much more time of possession. But in the long run and throughout a season, that could really hurt your team.
Yeah, against the Marauders, now officially 0-10 on the season. That was the end of theirs. Not the year for Coach Lighty and company. Just a tough season. They averaged 13 points per game. But I'll tell you what, they went out with a bang. For only scoring 7 in the round one of sectionals, they had a fun night. I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Lighty told the seniors, just like, have a game, you know, have fun. And they were flying around making plays, and the scoreboard doesn't reflect it fully. But now officially, this is a fun stat for the Pendleton Heights fans. Lost 12 straight games have the Marauders, and 379 days since Mount Vernon has won a football game.
I mean, that's just insane. I don't know what Coach Lighty tells his team after that. What do you tell your team when you're at the banquet? Like, what's your speech?
That banquet look right. Like? I'm not sure. I thought it was pretty interesting, though. It could be because of this. Obviously, there is 7 teams in this sectional 21 bracket, meaning one would get the bye, and it was Yorktown. And we have all the odds, according to John Harrell, one of our most reputable sources, of who's going to win the sectional, regional, semi-state, state in percentages. Pendleton Heights led it last night, leading in 48%. Now they still lead it, but they have 46% chance to win the sectional. Went down 2%. State, which is one, they gave us a 7.43% chance ahead of last night's game. Now that's a 3.8.
I wonder, after a win, maybe, like, was somebody there from John Harrell, or was John Harrell himself there, and he just saw, like, the performance or whatever, like what we were talking about last night on the broadcast. And, I mean, I don't really... I agree with whatever he says, and I go with whatever he says. I would like to ask a couple questions and ask, why did those go down?
Yeah, John Harrell's like the all-seeing eye of Indiana football, at least now with the stats and website that he puts on. So I guarantee, I don't know if he had people at these certain games, if he uses like reporters and stuff. Whatever they saw, they did not like. And I think they do a lot of this by math and by numbers. I'm curious what happened there. You lose three teams out of this with Richmond, Mount Vernon, and Greenfield, or and Newcastle being eliminated last night. And now that's not the case. We'll move on to the two matchups. It'll be Yorktown versus Beech Grove. They got a nice win over Richmond last night. And then the winner of that will advance to the sectional championship. And then on the flip side of things, the Halloween matchup, Pendleton Heights versus Greenfield Central at John Broughton Field. It'll be a good one. Last year we saw quite the game, quite the upset from Pendleton Heights, and the Greenfield's looking to do the same, and you got to be nervous if you're Pendleton Heights because you play a bad game, and now you're going against a hungry Greenfield team that looked a lot better from when you faced them.
Oh, yeah, Greenfield, with their freshman quarterback and the coach's son, it's just, it's one of those things. Playoff football is completely different. We saw that last night. I think that also had something to do with the performance last night. Mount Vernon just came out and was playing just relentless through the first, you know, in the first half and making plays and all, just all around a good half. I wonder if that is, you know, something to have to do with sectionals. Last week, Greenfield mollywopped Newcastle and, you know, they went to double overtime last night. And yeah, it's playoff football and you never know what's going to happen. And I feel like that has a big impact and we're in for a good one next week.
Yeah, let's take a look at the stats. Of course, unofficial, still haven't been finalized from last night. But for Brant Gray, he had quite the day. 4 for 7 for passing, 69 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Not his best game. He is pretty consistent quarterback of just, you know, about like 7 to 8 passes he hits. And he throws like 9 a game. So he kind of sticked around there. But Mount Vernon did a good job. They put the pressure on him, and they forced incomplete passes, only 69 yards through the air. And, of course, that interception late toward the end zone.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot more passing opportunities that they opened up in the playbook last night. It's just the Arabians offensive line, we haven't seen very much this year where they don't hold the defensive line like we thought they would. And Brant Gray was kind of moving around all night trying to make plays. And, you know, he made that one monstrous run, but unfortunately got called back from a holding call. But, you know, it's stuff like that that the Ravens have to clean up, and with their O-line. And, you know, Brant did a good job of getting out of the pocket, making plays. Joel Weaver on the other end, the run blocking from the Ravens last night was great. Was amazing. I'm sure they averaged over 3.5 yards per run, which will win you a football game.
Yeah, what I like to see, at least from the air while we're still talking about it, is 4 passes caught last night, all by different people. Sorry, excuse me. Weaver had a 5-yard route. Cooper Sims had 2 targets. He caught one of them for 26 yards. Sam Barrett had a big 30-yard touchdown, and C.J. Mitchum caught a slant for 8 yards. That was some, you know, he's spreading the ball around, and that's been the case all season, but it's good to see that on the stat books. Obviously, you'd like more. You'd like more incompletions. A few targets didn't work out, but that was credit to the defense. The DBs of Mount Vernon played an excellent game.
No, I mean, the 50-50 balls and stuff like that and that were batted down. The DBs played a great game. Evan Privett and Mason Meyer commanding in the back, getting people where they needed to be, and just overall good coverage, trying and keeping Brant Gray under 70 yards.
Yeah, we'll look to the rushing. Joel Weaver, 12 attempts, 253 yards, and 5 touchdowns unofficially. Again, unofficial, I'm not too sure if that's the exact numbers, but it's got to be close. I honestly didn't keep track of this as well as I wished I did now. I don't remember him having 5 touchdowns, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. The Arabians, they started to pour it on as of late, and the explosiveness of Joel Weaver shoots up his average. You know, he's going for 70 yards constantly.
Right, yeah, his carries to yards average is just insane. Like he said, the average run or yards per run, it's just he breaks off so many of these plays because the offensive line is able to create these gaps, and with his breakaway speed and elite speed, it's just, it's done whenever he gets to the third level.
Yeah, last night he averaged 21 a carry, and you got to hope he can carry that on to Greenfield Central. And again, it brings up that problem, you know, is explosiveness a problem? And that's a good one to have because you're scoring but you're not controlling the game. It's a weird ultimatum that we're going to break down really soon. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll sit down with head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond, talk about last night's matchup and what they got to work on next week ahead of Greenfield. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at detoursalonandstyle.com. Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group. Retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri here with Max Heineman in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond. You advanced to 9 wins on the season last night with a win over the rival Mount Vernon Marauders. How you feeling this good. Saturday morning?
Feeling good. It's a great day to be an Arabian.
All right. Well, we'll get straight into it. Last night, I'd say on the broadcast, we were pretty hard against the Arabians. After the game, we expected you to come to the post-game interview and be a little bit more fired up and, you know, angry about some few things that happened in that game.
Yeah.
And you weren't as fired up as we expected. Was it you're just happy to advance to the next round? I'm not sure. Where would you rank this game across this season?
Yeah, just, you know, I think uncertain is how I felt. I didn't want to jump to conclusions on certain things. You know, at least offensively, their defensive scheme is challenging. Similar to Yorktown, they got a lot of bodies they're throwing at you in different ways. And that may seem like silly or sound weird, but like they are unorthodox. And so, it's a challenging opponent to attack, and you really have to be disciplined on your rules. And so, it was just, there's a lot of uncertainty as to why, you know, and then Joel rushes for 249. You know, we had the phantom hold on Voris, which was garbage. That was not a hold. That was Byron Voris doing what we tell him to do and being a great unselfish teammate and blocking downfield as Brant scrambled 80 yards for a touchdown. If that doesn't get called back, we're over 400 yards rushing. So we controlled the line of scrimmage. It just was it wasn't clean to me, but I didn't know why, you know. So, and I'm proud of my guys. I mean, you know, they just keep working, and we did advance. And you can't underappreciate a win and a win against those guys. I mean, they've knocked us out of the tournament 4 times since I've been here, and so to do it to them feels pretty good, you know. And at the same time, we got to attack what we didn't do well and correct it and put it in the rearview mirror. So, but, you know, it's great to be alive. It's great to get to play, to beat Mount Vernon and to get to play Greenfield this week. So, that's kind of where my head was at. I was a little surprised at the Greenfield score too. I was a little,
we were too.
Yeah. I mean, and good for Newcastle. I mean, you know, they're well coached and, so I, you know, no disrespect intended in that comment, just absolute, like I was surprised it was a double overtime game in all capacities. So, but we'll see what the film says, and, you know, we got to be ready.
Coach, last night you guys had a lot of explosive plays. So like you did against Shelbyville, you've had a lot of explosive plays on drives that really haven't been able to, you know, fully develop. And it keeps your defense on the sideline for not long, giving them that long of breaks.
Yeah.
It's a good problem to have.
It is.
The explosive plays are a good problem to have, but going up against a team like Greenfield who are able to control the time of possession, being able to control the game on the offensive side with all the runs they have in their playbook, do you think that that is a problem going into, you know, Greenfield with having all these explosive runs and, you know, big runs not being able to develop a drive?
It's a good question against what they do, but, I mean, scoring's good, you know, and the more we score, the better. You know, we are faster and stronger than we've been in the past, and that's a credit to the kids' effort in the weight room. Joel Weaver's an example of that. Obviously, there's God-given ability all over the field, but at the same time, these guys are doing a really nice job of making those talents better, and I'm proud of them for that. And we're gelling even more. You know, you're seeing us in the back half of the season. You know, you think back to like Garen or some of those initial games. Joel was steady and strong and did a really nice job for us. But now there's cohesion with him and the guys up front. Talon too. I mean, Talon ran the ball really well last night, and Colton. So and Brant. I mean, like there's some gutty runs by Brant, and maybe they weren't as long as some of Joel's, but they were pivotal fourth down or third down, or they're big plays. And his scrambles, he made such good decisions. You know, they were bringing 7-man pressures and manning up. I mean, their chips were in the middle of the table, and they were gambling, and they lost. And you can't do that against a smart, gutty, athletic quarterback like Brant Gray, and he proved it last night.
Is it important to you to keep your offense on the field and your defense off longer? To Max's question, just for the future, because last night, while it was a big win for Pendleton Heights, at times it didn't feel like they were up by multiple scores.
It's hard to answer, you know, because we're not going to go down. You know, we're going to score points. So now we need to get them off the field sooner, which is hard to do against a team that's you've played twice. So, but you know, that wasn't for lack of effort. A lot of them staying on the field was self-inflicted. So, and 11, who's, I think he's a soccer player that kicks for him. I mean, he had 3 catches for 5 miles. So, I don't know what like that, but it comes down to simple things. You know, it doesn't matter it doesn't matter who they put out there. You got to have your feet moving as a corner. You got to get your hands on, and then you got to have good safety play. When we did it correctly, you saw White Elijah broke it up on their sideline. So we just got to be more disciplined, and we got to shrink the game into one play at a time, and to focus on what's most important. And you know, we practice that, but we're human beings, and they're good. That kid was fast. Number 11 was fast. So
last night, at least on the broadcast, we saw a lot of names that we didn't expect to see, a lot of weird personnel, and it worked for Mount Vernon. Yeah. How did you deal with that, or did you see that just from a playing coaching perspective?
Well, they had guys back last night that they haven't had all year, and we don't need to get into why or whatever, but like number 9's a senior tailback, hasn't played all year. He's a good football player. Mm-hmm. We did not know he would be back. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's still the same offense. It's still the same run plays. We still have to tackle legs and read keys. It doesn't matter who they put back there. We have to read our keys and fill the gaps that we're supposed to be in. And if we do that, and we do that with bad intentions to be aggressive and to be the players we are, we're going to be okay. You know, I thought Michael Emish played his butt off. I thought he stood out last night. Tackles for loss, big hits. I was really proud of how he played. I mean, all the guys up front, their effort was there. You know what I mean? But it's attention to detail. Jake McKinley, Jake Eldridge, it's great to have him back. You know, Eli Poor, he started at guard, and then he played on some defense. I mean, for a sophomore to come in and make an impact like he did, it was awesome to see too. He's getting better and better.
Pretend that was your team and you had a guy come back like that. Do you think it is more valuable to keep the guy who's been your back all season, who has the yards to back it up? Or do you mind what they did? Did it make your night easier? Is it important at all?
It's tough to say. I've never done that. We've never been 0-9. So I don't know what you do. You got to try to find some spark, you know? So I don't fault them, you know? And those guys were super respectful last night. There's no love lost, but we, we have an honest respect for Mount Vernon and always will here.
I was sitting down with some of my friends last night. We were breaking down the game and talking about it. And Chad Clark, I'm sure you know who he is. He was asking me, how does, you know, the PJFL, you know, the whole program starting at first grade, yeah, going all the way up until your 12th grade year, how does the program of PJFL bring these teams to where they are now? Because a couple years ago, I don't know if it was, you know, the Nick Trout class or it was last year's class where they went all the way through the program and played all the way through high school.
Yeah.
How does the PJFL program build these players, yeah, up into where they are now?
Yeah, I think, when I took this job, I mean, I think our seniors were second graders. So, and there's been ebbs and flows with our youth league, but it has consistently gotten better. Our numbers are good. The quality of instruction is good. The parity is good. We are definitely building something special, and there's a lot of people like Mr. Clark that deserve a lot of credit for that, you know. So, but they're being taught things where Troy McKinley deserves a lot of credit, Joe Wolf, Brian Arthur, those guys. I mean, and I'm going to leave somebody out, so I'm going to stop naming names, but those are guys that have been leaders for me and in unpopular positions where they have enforced and held people accountable to do things the way we want them to do. And not always popular, not always welcomed, but you're seeing it's a, if someone's been with us, like they know it's a habit now, you know, how we do certain things from a defensive pursuit to how we tackle to, there's always ways to improve those things, but it's definitely connected. And I hope they're proud, you know. I mean, that's what makes this community special is, we are a good, committed and cohesive community. And when you're in this program, you know, whether it's in the middle school, PJFL, or high school, there's continuity. And, you know, it's something I'm pretty proud of. And I think we got to continue to make it better. But sometimes we get frustrated. Like I know even, you know, my sons at their level, sometimes we get frustrated because maybe we're not winning championships, or maybe we're not winning when we go play teams from other schools. But what I can tell you to your question is the high school program right now is a great reflection, because while certain groups lack maybe certain positions, like they fill in those voids, you know? And you have like a strong senior class, and then you have a strong junior class, but they're different. So you have, like, when you look at the competition, you know, and you look at, look, maybe one class has more linemen, or maybe one class is faster, has more receivers, or, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, we're blessed that they all, as they come together, they have a common mindset. And the skill sets, while different, they really do a good job blending together. So that's the stuff I see right now. And body types change, and, you know, you can't put too much pressure. I mean, football is a delayed type of sport. Like, what, I mean, I was a lineman in fifth grade, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. Like, it's one of those things that you just can't, you don't exactly know where a kid's going to be. Maybe when he's 11, 12 or 9 or 10. Right. But by the time they, continue to work through here, the culture is strong, and there's a togetherness that I know binds the whole program. And we got to protect that. That's hard to do. It's taken 10 years, and we got to continue to build it, and we got to continue to make it better and to keep growing it. And, but there's a lot of people involved that make it happen, and I get to carry the torch at the top, and, but it takes an awful lot of people to make this thing go.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this first segment. Stay here, because we'll have right another, and we'll continue breaking down this game and preview next week against Greenfield Central. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044, online at sbheating.com. ArabianCooling.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri here with Max Heineman in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond. Now, Coach, I was talking to Brant Gray ahead of the matchup against Mount Vernon, and I asked him about, you know, this strong senior class and the leaders that this team provides. And he said one of the things that has gelled this team together so well is they're all connection and faith. How do you think faith has connected this team compared to prior years? You know, pregame prayer at team dinner, such and so forth.
Well, it's player led. And I think that's not always normal in a lot of places. You know, you have convicted teenagers that are strong in their beliefs and willing to put themselves out there and not worried about maybe what others think. So I commend them for it. I mean, obviously, it's a big part of my life. You know, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't, you know. I think that's something that is special about this community. And I think that's something special about this school. There's a lot of that here, and that's why our values are good, in my opinion. That's why our character and you know, and correction and things like that is, you know, for a normal person, it's not always welcomed. It's not always fun to be corrected and tell that you can do better when you feel you did well. But like, there's humility, you know, and there's different things that feed into that. So, but yeah, it's absolutely, I think our FCA's grown, you know, the last few years, you know, kids like Bryant Davis and, that 2023-24 class were big, West Kupfer. And I mean, there's a whole group that went through that really did a great job building that. And there's more than just those guys. They're just two players I know that pop into my head that, Nate Walls, another one, really big. So I say all that to this group has not only continued that, but to make it bigger, you know. Peyton Pollock's another one that pops in my head. So all that to be said, like, it definitely, you know, it's what you lean on. It's what I lean on in tough times and adverse times. And the fact that they can share that with one another, a lot of them go to youth group together, different churches, which is special. And I'm proud of them for it. I mean, it's a just another layer of what makes these guys special.
Driving through town the last couple of weeks, you've been seeing a lot of signs saying "Go Arabians, beat Marauders" on buildings. It's "Go Arabians, go football team, whatever." How does you know the community is behind you?
Yeah,
you know they're rooting for you. Everybody in this town knows that you're going to Greenfield and going to play next week and competing for a sectional championship. What does it mean having the community, you know, the community has your back?
Well, it's who you play for, you know. I mean, you know, the last two questions, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, if you're – and I'm a believer that everything we do reflects, you know. We're here for a reason. You know, it reflects on our faith. It reflects on our family. It reflects on our community, which is all one and the same. And we're fortunate to have that here. That's not the case at every school. That's not the case in every community. And obviously, we're not perfect, and no one is. But it is us versus everybody. And, you know, I say it all the time, and I stole it from Coach Harbaugh, but nobody's got it better than us. You know, and my coaches and the program has always heard we're all we got. And that's good enough for me. And we've got to make it the best we can. And that's something that as we continue to progress, we've got to continue to get better. And this can't be the best part of the season. You know, this can't be we got more to us, but we got to fight for that, you know. And you know, I mean, we're on the brink of having 10 wins. To my knowledge, that's happened 3 times in our program.
That's my next question for you.
Yeah, there's a lead in for you, but it really is. That's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. It's a big deal to me. And while that, you know, I talk about wins not being, you know, this is where I'm a hypocrite a little bit, right? But that's a tangible goal right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've won 2 sectionals ever, right? but we've only had 10 or more wins three times. So let's be, if we really want to be special, that's the meaning. This is a kind of a weird week two of the sectional. It's hard because you're not playing for a championship, but you're playing to stay alive and you're playing a good opponent, but they're 6-4. You know, there's a lot of commonality. We've already played them and beat them handily. We got to find our way here. Well, if you're looking for motivation, not that you need it, but we got a chance to do something that's rarely been done. And we've got to stay alive. So I don't know where you want to go with the question, but that to me is something tangible that we can accomplish right now this week. And we've got to do everything we can to do it.
Yeah. So you've never, as a head coach, hit 10 wins in a season. Nope. You went 9-2 twice in 2011 and 2012 at Western Boone. Would this be a big personal goal to hit 10 wins for you? And, you know, you mentioned how big it would be for the team and to do that for the third time.
Yeah, no, it's all about the team. I'm not just telling you that. It is. Mm-hmm. It's about these kids, and it's about doing something that, I mean, we haven't done it in over a decade. We've only done it three times here. And it gives us an opportunity to compete for a championship, which has only been done twice here. And we talk a lot about unfinished business. You know, we made it to the championship last year, which is hard to do. We want to get back there. And if we really mean that, we got to be willing to do whatever it takes. And to be honest, that's the simplest things and the most everyday mundane stuff. And we have to do as well as we can.
Yeah, I trust John Harrell as one of our most reputable sources. I use their rankings and such a lot. Last night, ahead of the game, you had a 48% chance to win your sectional. They dropped to 46. You had a 7% chance to win state, according to them. That dropped to 3.8. Why do you think that, and what does it mean to you?
I don't know. I don't know all the algorithms, and I know any chance, and this is going to sound such a whatever, to you get, everybody can take it how they want. Anytime you got a chance to go play, you got a chance to win. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I make jokes, but it's true. I've been the underdog my whole life. That's how I feel about everything. And I make the quote like that I know the radio plays my clip. I didn't realize that till recently, but when I met Molly Richmond, I was the underdog.
Yeah.
And I have been the underdog my entire life. And there's better coaches out there. There's better people. There's better everything. There's teams that have more than us. There's teams that have better than us. It doesn't matter. They're not us. And I have a will and an internal urgency to be the best at everything I've ever wanted to do. And that's what I want to instill in these kids. No matter who we play, we belong. No matter where we play, we can handle it. Whatever comes our way, you know, you talked about faith. That's where it comes from. It comes from my parents. It comes from my upbringing. It comes from the blue-collar, tough upbringing that I had. And I am not going to be denied what I want. And somewhere along the way, I'm going to get a locker room of guys that believes in it too. And I think these guys are right there. And if we don't reach our goals, it's not going to be for lack of effort, trying, or belief. You know what I mean? Control what you can control. Do what you're supposed to do. And do it with a will and an energy that is unmatched. If we can do that, I can't ask for anything else. And that's how I really feel. I mean, if we could play this morning, I would play this morning. Like I just, you know, like we have to stop. Everybody knows we've got to stop the dive this week. There are certain things we have to do to win this football game. And I need a bunch of tough kids that are going to show up and that are going to be willing to do what it takes to get it done. And I know we have them, and we just got to go out and practice that way.
Well, Coach, last question here. Kind of wish I formatted this a little different, because that would have been a great way to end this, because that was an awesome little speech there. But Max told me ahead of last night's game, Coach Frazier wouldn't be there. Was that the case? Of course, I believe you just had a kid.
Yep. Congrats to Haley and Levi Frazier on the birth of their little daughter, Emerson, Emmy. So really proud of Coach. He and Haley are going to be great parents.
How did that change last night's game, and would that be the case, Greenfield next week?
Yeah, I don't know. It's day to day. You know, everyone's well, which is good. So, but it's day to day. And, you know, as far as what it changed, Coach, we had some we had some different signaling, and you know, he kind of coached from afar with our preparation and things like that. But coach is still involved, and you know, we're doing just fine. So he's got no pressure, and we went on without him. So it goes both ways. Obviously, we're better with him, but we didn't miss a beat last night. I thought Brandt played really well. Was very accurate, and with the exception of thrown to them once, but I think he was awful proud of Brandt.
Well, that'll do it for this interview. Thanks for joining us, Coach, and we'll see you at home versus Greenfield.
Heck yeah, go Arabians.
All right, stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone is 765.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. I'm Max Hyman, joined by Ali Robinson. Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Ali, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We have some questions for you. Being a freshman and playing on varsity, did you expect coming into high school that you'd be starting varsity or playing varsity?
No, I didn't, because some of the girls I've watched played with in middle school, and all of them showed like a lot of talent. And I'm really grateful that I got to start.
Right now, you're leading the team in goals with 10 goals on the season. What do you think? Who do you think is creating your opportunities? And are your teammates getting you the ball? Are you finding a way to get the ball? What's your key to scoring so many goals?
A lot of our midfield, they play a lot of really good balls. Sydney Jones, Courtney Prickett, Allie Johnson, and our wides too, Ella Todd. Annabelle, a lot of the upper people like have really good balls up to the top.
Obviously you're a freshman now. What's been the
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Emma Todd, and I'm joined here with
Morgan Bricker
and
support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
As more club and travel sports pop up every year, they often muddy the waters on what the purpose of sports should be for student athletes at this age.
But high school sports are different.
It's not about becoming the best athletes. It's about becoming the best people.
It's not about scholarships. It's about coaches mentoring you, camaraderie with your teammates, and the connection you build with your school community.
It's not about year-round training. It's about developing resilience, responsibility, and a strong work ethic for life.
It's not about what am I going to get out of this. It's about playing for something bigger than yourself, for your team, your school, and your entire community.
High school sports help us grow in ways that will serve us for the rest of our lives, not just in the game.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Support what makes education-based athletics different by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is developing students as people. This is fulfilling a greater purpose. This is your IHSAA.
Tired of boring old podcasts? Flip it around with Arabian Rundown, our bi-weekly podcast posted every other Thursday. This isn't your typical podcast. Get ready to dive into wild conversations, fun topics, and awesome conversations with the WEEM podcast staff. Listen to Arabian Rundown anywhere you get your podcasts. Watch the video version on our YouTube at WEEM Media.
Stay connected with what's happening around our campus and community by tuning in to WEEM Weekly, our amazing bi-weekly podcast posted every other Wednesday. Join the WEEM podcast staff as they interview influential figures of our community, school, clubs, and more. Listen anywhere you get your podcasts and watch the vodcast on our YouTube at WEEM Media. Get the information you need by listening to WEEM Weekly.
My days of playing basketball for North Posey High School are still some of my favorite memories. Years later, I can still remember the feeling of wearing my Vikings jersey proudly and representing my community. I'm IHSA Commissioner Paul Neidig, and these student-athletes know how that feels.
It's an honor to represent my school and wear their name, to have the entire community rooting for my success, to contribute to my school's legacy and all the student-athletes who came before me. I'm Josie Campbell, and I'm a proud Brownsburg Bulldog.
Playing high school sports gives me a sense of ownership in my school. I get the chance to have a positive impact on my school's reputation, to help carry out our traditions, and to be the best person and player I can be. I'm Jet Wolfley, and I'm a proud Terre Haute North Patriot.
Demonstrate your pride by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is promoting school spirit. This is making your community proud. This is your IHSAA.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. I'm Max Hyman, joined by Ali Robinson. Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Ali, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We have some questions for you. Being a freshman and playing on varsity, did you expect coming into high school?
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oak Landon, 765-221-2082.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Experienced some technical difficulties today. Not unable to play our interviews we got earlier this week. I got one with Brant Gray, the quarterback, ahead of the Mount Vernon game. So we'll continue to talk about this football team and, you know, what Coach Richmond really said in that interview. He gave a little, I keep calling it a speech, I don't know what to call it. Max, you said you were ready to run through a wall. Oh, I mean, yeah. This team is energized, and if he doesn't show you that, you're in the wrong city.
I mean, if I didn't have anywhere to be after this, I'd be going to the, you know, football meeting that's about to take place here in about 15 minutes. But, I mean, these guys love playing for Coach Richmond. He talked about the community. This community loves him. I don't see Coach Richmond going anywhere, even if he gets another job opportunity. He loves it here. His kids have grown up here. The community's behind him. Everybody in the community knows who he is. And it's just, you have to have a coach like that to find success.
Yeah, you wouldn't want another coach. I mean, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I think they had 5 wins. After that, 7. This year, we're hitting 10 if they can win against this year. His personal best for his entire 10-year or like 16-year coaching career, that would be so special to this team. They're only getting better with time, and you can see that. You mentioned the PGFL class and how they're finally getting to go through the young league, second grade and up, and you know, you're seeing the benefits of that now. You have a strong, I thought we had a strong senior class last year. This senior class hit like a wall. And then after that, that junior class is pretty big. And it's not necessarily size, it's impact. And it's getting bigger and bigger every year, no matter the number of how many seniors there are.
And it has to do a lot with the youth program. I know we've talked about it a lot more than today than we have in the past, but it really is. And we're seeing it come into full effect. Coach Richmond being there at almost every practice. You know, they have practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Coach Richmond's there. He's coaching up the kids. He's seeing what he has, what these guys bring to the table, and he believes in this program. And that's what you have to have whenever, like, that's the kind of coach you want. Like, these kids are starting out in first grade and know who Coach Richmond is, and then once they get to high school, it's no shocker of what they're doing. They're just doing it at a little bit of faster pace and more prestigious of coaches. It's not just a parent coaching. This is Coach Richmond's lifestyle.
Yeah, he mentioned he got here when these seniors were in second grade. I got to Pendleton school system in second grade. First time I was here. I live in Anderson. I was never used to being in this Pendleton school system. And I know I was a young kid, but I don't remember life not being an Arabian. And these kids don't remember Coach Richmond, thus not being an Arabian. He's been an Arabian. He's raising his family here. And there's no better place to be. You know what? This is an awesome feeling. There's a certain feeling when your football team's doing good and it's fall turning into winter and it's like, man, you know, this place is riding the high, and it sure is nice to be Arabian today.
I mean, as you said, you were here since second grade. I was here whenever I was in kindergarten. I've been here for so long. I've known Coach Richmond ever since I've came through the program. I played PJFL all my years. I played middle school. I played freshman, sophomore year, was unable to play this year due to some injuries. But, you know, I'm coming back next year, and I can't be more excited to play next year. Everybody loves playing for Coach Richmond. It was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make, not playing this year. But, you know, health comes first. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I got to high school, and I knew who all the coaches were. These coaches are just so involved in the youth. They don't only think about the present. They think about the future. Whatever happens in the past, they forget about it, good or bad. Like, you know, if they win a state championship, obviously they're not going to forget about that, and they don't forget about the past seniors, but they focus on the future. They focus on what they have and what these guys can bring to the table, and they switch them up wherever they think they fit.
Let's talk about the next matchup ahead, of course. It's the Greenfield Central Cougars. Last time they played Greenfield was homecoming. 35-0 win Pendleton Heights got over Greenfield Central. It was a special, 43-14. I was thinking of the week prior, Newcastle. 43-14 win they got over Greenfield Central. This week they had a total of 334 rushing yards. They had a big play from Brant Gray called back due to a penalty that Coach Richmond kind of didn't agree with greatly. You know, just let him play, whatever. They would have almost had 400 yards without that penalty. And they're going to go at home, play Greenfield Central next week, and it looks like try to beat them at their own game.
No, I mean, Greenfield's, yeah, they're a run-heavy team running the wishbone offense. And, you know, you have to prepare. You have to prepare like no other whenever you go up against a team like Greenfield Central. They're so well coached, so well disciplined. They're just a bunch of, you know, corn-fed country boys who just like to hit people.
They're good at it too. I mean, there's a reason for that. Not how I would have phrased it, but you know, I guess it works.
Yeah.
They're good at it too. I was really surprised, you know, when we first saw them. This is a scrappy team that felt the loss of a big senior class, and now they're 6-4, I believe, and they look like a great 6-4 team. I mean, great wins for them, and you got to think, man, they're going to be wanting this one more than you would ever expect.
Yeah. No. Coming into this week, I'm sure the Arabians know the work that they have cut out for them, and Coach Richmond's going to get them prepared. We know he is. The Greenfield coaching staff is a lot like the Arabians coaching staff, and it all comes down to preparation. You have to be ready whenever, you know, those lights come on and the pregame timer hits zero. You have to be ready. As soon as the opening kickoff all the way to the final whistle, it'll be a dogfight, and I'm excited to see what happens. And Brant Gray has to prepare. He has to prepare, and he's not he prepares like no other. You can see that in the way he performs, the way Joel Weaver performs, the way this offensive line gets behind Joel Weaver figuratively. You know, they're obviously in front of him and blocking for him and just creating huge gaps for him to break off those long runs. And you know, that could hurt this team later in the game, trying to keep the defense on the field for so long, and you have to extend these plays and these drives.
Yeah, they've got a lot of good things headed to them. I'd be curious what Coach Richmond said, because, you know, they're playing an 0-9 team this past week. You know, ahead of that game, Mount Vernon was 0-9, and you got to think about the motivation. Hard to stay motivated against an 0-9 team. Well, they did it. They did it enough. They got the win. You know, like we said, it wasn't the prettiest one, but that didn't seem to matter to Coach Richmond. There's a few things that he wasn't but worried about at all. I mean, we didn't address special teams. You know, some odd play there, but I think they'll have it down. They'll nail it down. Maybe some sectional jitters for some first-time, you know, playoff Arabian football there. So, I don't know. I'd be curious to see how they address that. What's the motivation in a Week 2 game? He said it's really weird because you don't really know. maybe that you think about that 10-win goal. Maybe you think about the different things, just another game in the road to get to that sectional title. What I'd be very curious about is this motto, unfinished business. When is business finished? How do you as a coach, let's say they make it all the way to that sectional championship and they beat a tough team like Yorktown. You don't want this team to get complacent. You don't want this team to think they have achieved the season's goal and business is finished. No, you want to continue. And, you know, obviously we've got a minute till we get there, and I don't think they will do that, but I'm curious to see how he navigates that as a coach.
Like you said, business isn't finished until, you know, they win state. State is the business, and that's what they have to finish. I believe this team, with the talent and the depth that they have, I feel like they can do that. It's going to be a long road to get there. It's going to take a lot of recovery, a lot of, you know, being smart from the coaches, from the players, with their recovery. You know, but I think this team can do it with the they like to be around each other. And you have to have a team that is excited to come in after school, after a long day of school, and they come in, they have to watch film, go to practice, and then go home at 5:30 and do homework. If you're a player, you have to be excited. This isn't going to work if you – like, the teams at Wynn State are excited to go to practice every day. They're excited to watch film. And I feel like this team, amongst other teams in the past, they're different. They like to come in. The people who I've talked to, the linemen, the skill players, all of them, they're excited after school to go play football, especially these seniors.
Yeah, and it's the things we talked about. It's the farm system in the PGFL, and it's things like faith that have united this team. We are going to take a quick break. When we return, we should have regularly scheduled programming. You're going to hear from Brant Gray and company here on the Arabian Sports Network. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM.
Tune in and type up for 91.7WEEM.org. Greatest website for the greatest student-run radio station. Whatever you need, we've got it. From sports to podcasts to weather and more, we have everything you're looking for. It's all here on 91.7 WEEM.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. I'm here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined here alongside junior quarterback of the Pendleton Heights football team, Brant Gray. Brant, how's your day going?
Pretty good, yeah.
Well, we're recording this interview on the Wednesday before your first sectional game as the starting quarterback of the team. What do you think of the season so far? You had an 8-1 regular season. The Arabians are looking hot.
It's been amazing. I mean, first-year starter. Didn't know... like a lot going into it, you know, but to be 8-1 right here as a first year starter, I mean, it's been promising and it's been a lot of fun this year.
Now I asked you about this ahead of your first varsity start, but what I asked you, like, what is the jump in play to you going to be like? Obviously JV's slower, varsity's a lot quicker. Now with 9 games under your belt, what was that like making the jump?
At this point, I mean, I've gotten used to it with a lot of games under my belt, but first game of the season, definitely really nervous. Definitely guys are a lot bigger flying around. So, but I mean, I think sophomore to junior year, I definitely improved a lot and I think I've gotten a lot better. So, I mean, just people are bigger, but so am I. So,
mm-hmm. How's the body holding up? You've gone through 9 weeks of football and you're a 3-sport athlete and basketball season is about to start and you guys are looking to make a deep playoff run. Those are going to overlap. How's the body holding up?
Pretty good. Yorktown game, I ran 19 times. Pretty sore a few days later, but I mean, in pretty good shape. So basketball season with being the quarterback might be a little out of shape, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
So let's talk, of course, we're in playoff football now. About 2 Sundays ago, they make the decision of, you know, what teams are going to play what. You know, some people think it should be done by seeding. Obviously the seniors meet up and they all have like a party and come together to watch it. You're a junior. What did you think when you first saw you're going to play Mount Vernon?
To be honest, I'm so happy with like, the way our sectional is drawn, you know, Yorktown's on the other side. I mean, I don't really care that much about this, whether it's seeding, whether it's random. I'm fine with playing Mount Vernon. I'm just trying to go through each game, win. And we won't have a bye, so we'll be fresh. We'll keep going, and I like that.
You would prefer to not get a rest week? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'd prefer to. I mean, keeps us all on our feet, keeps us continuing to play games. I mean, because regular season, you don't get a bye week, but so it's definitely keeps you in the rhythm playing games.
Everyone I've talked to about the sectional drawing loves that Yorktown's on the other side of the bracket. Was it because it was such a close game and you want that back? Was it, you know, they had some fiery competitors? What about that Yorktown game do you want to see in the championship?
Definitely because it was a close game. I mean, that's probably the most fun I've had all season in the regular season in a game. If we're able to play them in the championship, I mean, that's all you could ask for. I mean, two good teams going at it and seeing who comes out on top.
So ahead of this Mount Vernon game, of course, they are 0-9. One of the worst Marauder seasons kind of in history. It has not fallen their way, but they've proven to be a really good football team in certain moments of games. You know, it was expected in the game ahead of Mount Vernon earlier this season that they thought, Coach Richmond believed they would put up a lot more fight earlier than they did, and you guys really made them quit. So as a leader going into a game against an 0-9 team, how do you keep your team motivated and, you know, keep them at the top of their game even when they're not going against the highest caliber of opponent?
Yeah, we definitely can't underestimate Mount Vernon. Their quarterback's pretty good, and he definitely made a lot of plays. And with Kiesling out this week, we'll have to find a way to stop him. But I think we know the challenge we're going to face. And, I mean, so far we've had a good week of practice, and I think we'll be ready for him. I mean, just got to put points up on the board, do our jobs, and I think it'll be smooth sailing.
I was talking to Coach Richmond earlier this season, and he said the best stat you're going to get from Brent Gray is our win-loss record. What does that quote mean to you?
I think that I just go out and looking to win. It doesn't matter like how many yards I throw, how many yards I run. I'm just looking to go out there and win. Because obviously, I feel like our team, we don't really pass as much as other teams would. Like my passing yards are not up there compared to some other quarterbacks in our conference. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're 8-1. That's all I care about. If I'm not passing as much, but we're putting points on the board and we're winning games, then I'm happy with that.
Yeah. So of course, you know, I've been broadcasting all of these games this season. I've said a lot earlier in the season, especially that you're one of the best game managers that Pendleton Heights has seen in a long time. You don't throw picks. You don't fumble the ball. You just manage the game and eventually lead the offense to the end zone. Recently, I think that's changed, though. Probably starting in that Yorktown game when it got really close. We saw a little bit in Delta. You're starting to make plays, and when the Ravens need a first down, you'll go and get it, and you'll extend that play if it's, you know, going to be a tackle for loss or sack into a first down. Has something changed for you? You went from playing great game manager football to now being a star that can make plays.
Definitely my confidence early in the season. It was more, don't turn the ball over, Brent. Keep us on the field. Now it's more of go out and score. I know what I'm going to do and that I'm good enough to do it. And I think it's just definitely my confidence has gotten a lot better, and that's why I've been performing so well.
You only have one turnover, I believe. I don't believe you have any fumbles on the year, knock on wood. And that one turnover was in week one against Lebanon. And after the game, I asked Coach Richmond about it. He's like, we put him in a horrible situation, and I let the coaching staff know. Did you expect to only have one interception through the air going into the postseason? That was pretty incredible. I looked through the stats today trying to find, you know, a quarterback compared. Going into the postseason, no one's had one interception on their record.
Yeah, I definitely think that I expected to have a few more interceptions, but I mean, one interception only week one. I feel like it was definitely a confidence thing too. Week one was, but only having one pick up to now. I mean, I'm pretty happy with that, and it's been nice.
This team has been told they're special by many different people. I've been told the leadership is a huge part in that. This is some of the strongest leadership that's inspired this team to put in the extra mile and go a little harder in practice. What about the leadership has been so different comparisons to previous years or teams you've been on?
I think we got a lot more guys leading, but also I think we all have a strong Christian faith. Before practices, we pray. Before games, I think a lot of that helps, especially with leadership, people stepping up, gives people confidence. I mean,
How does it feel to be the guy who has your teammate in mind? You know, obviously the quarterback, you're the one with eyes on you. You're the guy people look at when they think of the Arabians. You've got this team in an 8-1 record, best record heading into the postseason since like 2011 when they last won a sectional title. And I know Coach Rosham doesn't like it, but all the eyes are on Pendleton Heights right now. They're the front runner for the Hoosier Heritage Conference with New Pal out looking into the sectionals and such. I believe they're ranked anywhere from like 7th to 4th in 4A. You guys are a favorite to make a pretty deep run. Where do you see this team going, and how does it feel to be the man in charge of that?
I mean, it feels great to be the man in charge of just a great team. And I mean, I think we could go to state this year. There's definitely some more competition past sectionals, but I think we'll make it through the sectionals, win sectionals, and move on. And I definitely think that we have a good shot to go a long way this year. The way with our players, I mean, I just think we got a great chance.
Last year, obviously, Pendleton Heights made it to the sectional championship, and it was the deepest run that they made in quite a bit of time. And now in a year where they're looking to go even deeper and win that sectional title, I was told last year that some guys, like by that New Pal week, they were tired. They were not over football, but you know, after a while, you don't want to be in football practice after school. How do you make sure that doesn't happen when you try to get to that sectional championship game and even into regional semi-state?
To be honest, I think this year, like as a team, we're just having a lot more fun, and I think that that comes with winning is just having a lot more fun.
You're good. That's a tough question. You know, you don't want to say that about teams of prior, but I've heard that's a mental block to get through. In the dog days of football, it gets the hardest. Coach Rhodes said that at a Thursday team dinner thing. And now with Coach Rhodes and the basketball team, it's kind of you and the leader's job to get through that. And that's a really difficult thing to do.
I'd say, yeah, just having fun. We got a funny team. we got a lot of guys that make jokes, and it just helps you get through practice. And I think we're definitely having a lot of fun this year. So,
well, that's about all I got for you, Brant. Good luck as you head into the postseason. And we're hoping the Arabians make a deep run.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you.
All right. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklandon, 765-221-2082.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Connor Weflin. I'm joined here by Zach White on the Pendleton Heights Cross Country team. Zach, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And so we're just going to jump straight into the question. So first, Zach, as you're nearing the end of the season and you're reflecting on your senior season, what has it been like for you to increase your role as a leader? And have you been meeting your expectations that you set from the start?
Yeah, it's been weird, honestly, because I joined cross country freshman year. And, you know, the seniors at that time, I kind of looked up to them, and I don't feel a lot older, but to those, you know, freshmen who are in the same position I was in, yeah, I guess they look up to me now, which is weird, and Ashton, I'm sure it's weird for him, another senior on the team. As far as goals this year, I'm about where I wanted to be at, and hopefully, I mean, the biggest goal was to make state. So I guess I don't fully know yet, but hopefully I'll be where I wanted to be at.
So since the beginning of the season, have there been any obstacles that this team has had to overcome to get where they are now?
I mean, yeah, there's always obstacles, especially in running, just because it's so like physically demanding that, you know, not every race is going to go how you want the race to go, and what you just have to do, same with workouts. is you just have to move on from them. You don't let a race define you, whether it's good or bad. You know what kind of runner you are. You know what work you put in. So you just take those bad races and you learn from them, but you don't worry about them. So, yeah, that's what I've been trying to do this year.
The boys team placed fifth overall as a team at sectionals, and they're advancing to the regionals this Saturday. Was advancing to the regional meet, was that a big milestone that the team was setting up before the season started? You know, was that a goal you guys were looking to hit?
Yeah, we were definitely hoping to make it pretty far as a team. But, I mean, it's a big deal. That was the first time in high school that we've advanced. I mean, for me, obviously, it's been 4 years that we've advanced to regionals as a team. That might not be true. I don't know. But anyways, it's a big deal. It hasn't happened in a while. So we were all really happy, really excited. And, of course, we've been hoping to do that all season. But it's just been nice that it, you know, was actually able to happen like we wanted it to.
Yeah, so you were a big part of, obviously, the team advancing. You placed fifth at the sectional with a time of 15:47. Going into that race, you know, what was your plan? Did you have another runner you're looking to stay with? Did you have a goal time you're going for?
Honestly, I had sort of set a goal to just keep the general, like, front pack in sight. There's another runner from LaPel that I had wanted to stay on, and I eventually was able to pass him. But overall, it was more of a positioning thing because, especially in the postseason, it's all about place. So your time really doesn't matter, and that's what happened. The time, which was a PR for me, just kind of it kind of came with, you know, worrying about positioning in the race.
With that plan, did it go exactly how you expected it to? Did you wish you did a little bit better? Do you think you did what you needed to?
Honestly, I wish I had gotten out faster. But, I mean, besides that, I think with the start that I had, I did what I could have. I don't really look back at any part of that race and regret what I did, but I can definitely think of some things that I would have done differently, especially at that start.
Are there any specific changes or improvements, you know, moving on from sectional, obviously, that you're looking to make going in the regional to your race strategy? You know, is there any thing that you're looking back on? I mean, you mentioned getting out fast, of course. Is there any other changes or improvements to your race plan that you're looking to make going in the regional?
Besides getting out a little stronger, I mean, if I can do what I did at sectionals with a better start, then, you know, obviously that will mean a better time and hopefully a better position, but you never know what kind of race other runners are going to have. It's kind of out of your control, but what's not out of your control is whether or not you decide to stick with them, maybe even try to pass them, put in everything you've got. So that's what I'm going to do. Hopefully the result will be good.
So going back to the sectional race, like we mentioned, you ran a time of 15:47, which was a new PR for you. How have you progressed over the course of the season? Have you had a few ups and downs personally? You think you were progressing toward, like, did you think you're eventually going to get this point, or is this like, was this a goal time for you at the beginning of the season?
At the beginning of the season, yeah, I'd say around where I'm at was where I wanted to be. But I feel like this is pretty normal for cross country just because of the way that things are. But, you know, course to course, race to race, days are different. I said courses are different. Just the way you feel is different, the way your legs feel. So my times have been, you know, not consistently getting better every week, but I feel like generally the trajectory is upward, which is what I've wanted it to be. Again, not better every race, but over the season, progressively better, I would say. So, yeah, that's what you want. That's what I'm happy with.
Yeah, and, you know, like we mentioned, you've had a couple PRs here in the postseason. But heading into the postseason, as you look back on the regular season, was there anything you were looking to specifically improve on heading into these bigger meets? Obviously, you know, you hit the PR at sectional. Was there anything you started to do differently, whether that was something different for your warm-up, what you did the day before, the day of?
Nope. Honestly, not really. I try to keep things consistent as far as, like, routine for race day. But one of the things that I think has helped me, especially postseason, got kind of bigger, more important meets. And so if I can just think about my strategy the night before and the day of, keep my mind clear and try to stay positive, not really think about the race, honestly, because that just makes me nervous. And if I'm not nervous, then it's just a lot easier to run and hopefully get those PRs and have the meet turn out the way I want it to, as far as advancing or PR or placement or whatever.
So as a senior and you're reflecting on your time on cross country, on the cross country team, what impact has this team had on you personally over your time on the team?
Yeah, I've loved being part of the team. It's taught me to work, not just the sport, but also everybody else on the team who I can see is also putting in that work. Everyone's trying to get better and everybody is encouraging of each other. And also, my team is just filled with a lot of my personal friends, which has been great. I'm lucky to have such, you know, a team that I would actually want to be around. Makes practices fun, more encouraging. So this team's meant a lot to me, and I'm going to miss it next year.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that's all the time we have for Zach. Thank you for joining me for this interview.
All right, of course. Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEN.
Tune in and type up for 91.7WEEM.org. The greatest website for the greatest student-run radio station. Whatever you need, we've got it. From sports to podcasts to weather and more, we have everything you're looking for. It's all here on 91.7 WEEM.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. And that'll about wrap it up for us. Of course, you know, we had our recap of about Arabian football this past week, and then Coach Richmond gave us, I'd honestly say, one of the most insightful interviews of the season. A lot of questions, you know. He mentioned about how we're treading in weird times with round two of sectionals. Obviously, first round, you want to get a hot start, get ready, get going. Third round, you know, that's the championship. You want to earn that title. Second round is this weird middle ground. I'm excited to see how the Arabians tread it, and currently sitting at 9-1. I mean, this is a great team and excited for the future. But that'll wrap it up for me and Max Heineman. Thank you guys for tuning in, whether you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole show. We really appreciate it. And then to all our sponsors and contributors that allow this to happen, again, really appreciate it, and we couldn't do any of this without you. And then have a great night. Or that's not a night. I usually say have a great night on Friday night broadcast, but it's Saturday, so have a great Saturday. I've been Zion Palmieri alongside Max Heineman, and you're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.